Hello, and welcome to the 22nd episode of TuneCast, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I'm your host, TFG1 Mike, and today I am joined by Pecan Court Michael, making his TuneCast debut. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. We're going to be talking about the classic Charlie Brown Halloween special, It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Happy Halloween, everybody. So what's been, this is kind of like the general chat version of this show, so what's been going on with you this past weekend?
Oh, yeah, I hear the giggle there, because you know exactly what's happening. Yeah, my machine suffered a fatal virus and took it out almost completely. I didn't have internet, and I was very upset about it. It took me about 2 days to get rid of the virus. And then once I got rid of the virus, I still couldn't get on the internet. And it ended up being that the virus took out my windsock. The Windows windsock. And all the Mac people that I know are chuckling like, ha, 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 you should get a Mac. But, yeah, I fixed it myself, and I'm back up and running now.
Yes, because if you weren't, you wouldn't be recording this podcast with me.
Exactly.
A little bit of a programming note. Episode 22, which is this episode, will go up Halloween either morning or evening. Not sure yet, but because this is dedicated to Halloween, this will actually go up on the day. Because of holiday schedules and conflicts and stuff, some of the TuneCast episodes will be pre-recorded and just uploaded on the dates that they are scheduled to be done, but they will be pre-recorded. They won't actually be... They'll probably be a week or two ahead of... Like, normally when I sit down to do a TuneCast, it's either Saturday or Sunday night or, you know, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever, of the previous week that it's supposed to be released. With the case of the holidays coming up, we're going to have to pre-record some shows because, you know, people have plans and I understand that and stuff like that. So, yeah, some of the shows will be pre-recorded. So I guess we're going to go into The Great Pumpkin. We will be right back.
Dear Great Pumpkin, I'm looking forward to your arrival on Halloween night. I hope you will bring me lots of presents.
Who are you writing to, Linus?
This is the time of year to write to the Great Pumpkin. On Halloween night, the Great Pumpkin rises out of his pumpkin patch and flies through the air with his bag of toys for all the children.
You must be crazy. When are you going to stop believing in something that isn't true?
When you stop believing in that fellow with the red suit and the white beard who goes ho, ho, ho.
We are obviously separated by denominational differences.
You must get discouraged because more people believe in Santa Claus than in you. Well, let's face it, Santa Claus has had more publicity. But being number two, perhaps you try harder. Writing a letter to a stupid pumpkin? You make me the laughing stock of the neighborhood. All they talk about is my little brother, who always writes to the Great Pumpkin. You better cut it out right now or I'll pound you. There are three things I have learned never to discuss with people: religion, politics, and the Great Pumpkin. You're wasting your time. The Great Pumpkin is a fake. Everyone tells me you are a fake, but I believe in you. P.S. If you really are a fake, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
All right, we are back, and it is time for the history lesson. For episode 22, we travel back to 1966 for It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, which is an animated television special based on the comic strip Peanuts by Charles M. Schulz. It was the third Peanuts special, the first Halloween special to be produced, and animated by Bill Melendez. Its initial broadcast took place on October 27, 1966, on the CBS network, preempting My Three Sons. CBS re-aired the special annually through 2000, with ABC picking up the rights beginning in 2001. The program was nominated for an Emmy Award, and it has been issued a home video several times, including a remastered deluxe edition of the special released by Warner Home Video on September 2nd, 2008, with the bonus feature It's Magic, Charlie Brown, which was released in 1981. To celebrate its 48th anniversary, a retrospective book was published in 2006 entitled It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, The Making of a Television Classic, with the entire script, never-before-seen photographs, storyboard excerpts, interviews with the original child actors who provided the voices for the Peanuts gang. That's the history lesson, and we're going to move into general memories. About the book, I want that. That's so cool.
That does sound very cool.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was a book. For some reason, I thought it was like a special edition of the DVD or something with all that stuff digitized. But no, the book would be very cool. It would make a nice coffee table piece.
No, we're not doing Kramer references in this show.
Was that a Kramer reference? I never watched Seinfeld, so I don't know.
Well, he... can't believe I'm actually bringing this up on a friggin' cartoon show, but Kramer had the idea for a coffee table book that actually was a miniature coffee table. So the book would have legs underneath it that would fold out, and the book would be a miniature coffee table, and you could open it as it's sitting on your actual coffee table.
You see, this is why I never watched Seinfeld.
I will be getting to the DVD stuff a little bit later.
Okay.
I believe all of the Peanuts stuff, like all of the major, like, most famous ones, like Halloween, Christmas, Thanksgiving, they are all on remastered deluxe editions. I know that they released the holiday collection, and then they re-released it as the deluxe holiday collection when they remastered all of these, and I have that set. It's actually right here next to me.
Oh, the box set?
Yeah.
So each one of those in the box set is remastered.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because I have that.
Yeah.
Or I should say my wife has that at school with her. She teaches elementary school, so the kids at school get to see it, but I was unable to get the copy back here in time.
This was always, for me, it was always the annual Halloween tradition. You would eat, you know, after you went out trick-or-treating, you would come home and you would watch It's the Great Pumpkin. I don't really remember any other Halloween special back in the 80s. Now, I realize this came out in 1966, but as I said in the history lesson, it, you know, CBS aired it through from then till 2000.
Every Christmas forever.
Well, every Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas.
Oh, Halloween, yeah.
This is the Halloween episode.
That's right, exactly, and that's what I meant.
Yeah, no, that's not what you meant.
We'll fix that in post.
Yeah, no. You won't hear. This part has been edited. You'll never hear.
That's right. This part has been edited for ignorance.
For Mike Wilson's ignorance.
That's right. Well, it just came out as Christmas. I meant Halloween. But yeah, every Halloween this came on, and every Halloween we watched it. Unlike the Ray Harryhausen-esque, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer Christmas specials, the Peanuts shows never got annoying.
No, and they are still classics today, and while I'm very glad that they are still showing on TV today, I think for us that grew up in the time period when, you know, the late 70s, early 80s, because you are significantly older than I am.
got a few years on you, yeah.
I was very happy seeing it on TV then, but I am a firm believer in stuff needing to be on DVD, and I'm glad the... What?
It's like 10, 15 years down the road, it's going to be like, you know, if it's not on hologram, I'm not going to watch it.
Shut up. I haven't even made the jump to Blu-ray yet, and I seriously doubt I will unless somebody gets me a PS3. Or unless I buy one myself, which probably won't be till after my birthday next year. But anyway, like I said, I always remembered this as being the quintessential Halloween special. There was no other Halloween specials on at the time that I remember as vividly as this.
Yeah, I think every kids show kind of had a Halloween episode, but it's it would be on in the morning or something, and you would. Then they never quite made the jump to prime time, which is where the Peanuts ruled.
And the good thing about these, there is, and as I said, I know I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself, but on this deluxe edition DVD version, there is, let's see, all new featurette, We Need a Blockbuster, Charlie Brown, and it's basically how The Great Pumpkin came to light. In there, one of the producers says that basically Bill Melendez, the director, and Charles Schulz just basically got together and talked about it, worked it out. They had no studio behind them. They would just take it to the network and sell it to them.
Right. Bill Melendez was one of those, hey, we don't need the studio type thing. He was a big proponent of unionized labor and such.
Yeah. So do you have any... I know you. One of the reasons why Mr. Wilson here is on Tooncast on the Halloween episode is because through recent blog posts of his and just, you know, us generally chatting off air, he said he is a big Halloween buff. So do you have anything other, any other general memory with this that you'd like to share?
You know, I would say that the only other Halloween tradition in the animated sense that I can really think of is the annual Haunted Treehouse episode for The Simpsons.
Oh, you mean that pile of crap that...
Well, even The Simpsons parodied The Great Pumpkin.
Yes, I know, but lately, over the I'm sorry to go off on a tangent in this. I'm trying to keep this show pretty much strict on topic, but I'm sorry. The last 5 years of Treehouse of Horrors have sucked. Big metal Devastator balls.
You know, I've only seen Treehouse of Horrors about 3 times. I know they have one every year for the last 20 years, but I've only seen about 3 of them.
The thing is now, over the last 5 years, when I've looked, I honestly haven't been watching The Simpsons, but like faithfully like I used to back in the 90s, but back when it was actually good. Anyway,
Basinga.
Anyway, you know, my main issue with the Treehouse of Horror is they would show it after Halloween. They would show it like November 2nd, November 3rd, November 4th, November 5th, whatever that Sunday was after Halloween.
Yeah.
For me, once a holiday passes, okay, we'll see you again next year. That's it. It's done. Once Halloween is over, it's fucking over. And we can curse on this show.
I was about to say, all the small children who are interested in The Great Pumpkin are now going, Mommy, what does fucking mean?
As I've said before, I do not make podcasts for children.
We make podcasts about cartoons, but not kids' cartoons. What? Oh, wait, this one's kind of for kids. But not this cartoon.
Now, wait a minute, no, this actually is not for kids.
This has been for kids since 1966.
You make
it used actual kids as the voice actors.
Understand that, but the Peanuts characters themselves, from the strips to the cartoons, Charles Schulz, I either read somewhere or saw on a DVD special, he did not write. He wrote more of Christ, I can't even say the damn
philosophy.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Type of things. I mean. Just
philosophical
show, and it's you know I demand restitution. No child is gonna say that.
That's right.
You know, I mean, there's you know where the scene, you know, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We'll get to that. Going into the characters and voice actors, as you said, Bill Melendez wanted all child actors to play the roles of the characters, because it was more realistic to him than getting, say, Soup Lou is the only one I can really think of.
Tara Strong.
Yeah, Tara Strong.
Tara Strong would play all the female voices and all the male voices.
we're not going to go there.
I'm just saying, there's probably a couple anime actresses that can pull it off.
Yeah, we're just not going there.
All right.
So you have Charlie Brown, Snoopy, Linus, Lucy, Schroeder, Woodstock, who is actually absent in this episode, or this special, Sally, Charlie Brown's sister, and then a bunch of other...
I think Franklin was in there.
No, I don't remember Franklin.
Pigpen was in there.
Yeah.
He had his own line.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll recognize me. How'd you know it was me? Yeah. Pigpen was in there. Franklin was in the Thanksgiving one. I don't remember Franklin in this one.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if there were any pigs watching the show, they would have been highly offended.
Pigpen, yeah.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Who is your favorite character from this special?
Oh, you know, my favorite character was always Snoopy.
Yeah.
Always Snoopy, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can kind of relate a little bit more to some of the things that Linus said as an adult. But, you know, when I was young, and even now, you know, Snoopy is my favorite character.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I do agree with that. And I don't know, for some odd reason, I always saw myself as kind of like a Charlie Brown type, just because when I was a kid, it was like, you know, everybody was always trying to pull, you know, pretty much pull the football over my eyes. No, seriously. Even I did have a signed document that wasn't notarized.
That's right, you're painfully optimistic.
Exactly. Just because, you know, and I'm gonna go a little deep here, you know, not everybody has met me. I'm not sure if everybody that listens to this show has even seen a picture of me. I was born with a mild case of cerebral palsy. So basically, long story short, my brain didn't send signals to my right arm and right foot, so they turn in slightly and they are smaller than my left side. You know, and I always got picked on as a kid. And I kind of related to Charlie Brown in that sense, as far as Lucy always being mean to him and pulling the football away. Actually, I will be bringing up, not really, our main focus obviously is The Great Pumpkin, but the additional special on this remastered DVD is It's Magic, Charlie Brown, where Snoopy actually makes Charlie Brown invisible, and he sees Lucy in the field, and he actually kicks the football, except he's invisible, so it doesn't count.
I think I've seen that one.
Yeah. So, you know, Snoopy and Charlie Brown were my two favorites, I would have to say. And as we mentioned before, the voice actors here, you had Peter Robbins as Charlie Brown, Christopher Shea as Linus, Sally Dreyer as Lucy, who has passed away.
1995, I believe.
Kathy Steinberg as Sally. Bill Melendez he's uncredited as Snoopy, and I can see why he would be uncredited, because even though they show his name, but in the actual show, he is not credited as Snoopy. All that Snoopy does is laugh or cry. He really doesn't have a voice. The dog doesn't talk.
No, but if you heard that particular sound,
oh, yeah,
that laugh or the cry, you would be like, oh my god, that's Snoopy.
Yes, exactly.
It's a very distinctive noise.
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm not saying that, but I mean, you know, yeah, I'm not going to go into the tangent I just was going to go into. We'll discuss that off air.
Okay, yeah.
I was going to make a Transformers reference with movie Bumblebee, but we're not going to go into that.
Okay, we'll just...
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to go into
we'll try not to mix our Charlie Brown with our Transformers today.
No. Yeah. We're going to go into the behind-the-scenes segment.
You're not going to talk about Christopher Shea?
Christopher Shea, we mentioned him.
Oh, yeah, he's, you know, what he's doing now?
Oh, real estate?
Yeah! Can you believe that?
No.
I mean, Charlie Brown's just floating around out there doing real estate.
No,
that's crazy.
No, that's Linus. Christopher Shea was Linus.
What? Oh, it was? Oh! You're right. Okay, so Linus is out there. You know, it's the same thing.
No, it's not!
It's the same damn thing. He's out there.
People!
What? Whatever happened to Peter Robbins, then?
Two different people.
What do you think happened? Well, I only know about what happened to Christopher Shea.
You know, real estate, even in a declining economy like what we have now, real estate is booming. So, you know, hey, more power to him.
I think he could still pull off a Linus if he tried really hard.
I don't know about that, but...
Probably not.
I'm not even sure if Melendez could pull off a Snoopy laugh if he tried. He's so old.
I think Melendez died.
Did he really?
I thought so.
No.
I was looking at some video of him, and it was the you know, the synopsis of it was written as if he had already passed away.
Hold on.
It'd be easy enough to find out.
Who did, did you like the Lucy character at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Lucy has, you know, a very particular personality, but they never stray from that. She's always, you know, the self-described crabby individual. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's always like, I'm the way I am, and that's all there is to it, and if you don't like it, you can hit the bricks. it's funny, there was actually a comic that they reprinted in the Sunday paper here in Chicago, last weekend, not too long ago, that had Lucy saying that she wanted to sit in a pumpkin patch waiting for the great pumpkin to come. And she says, you know, when he comes, I'm going to get a picture with him, and I'll be famous, and I'll get book deals, and I'll be on TV, and the money will come pouring in. And Linus happens along, and she says, well, what do you think of this pumpkin patch? Do you think the great pumpkin will come to this one? And Linus says, I think this is the most hypocritical pumpkin patch I've ever seen.
Yes, it's not sincere enough.
That's right. It's rife with hypocrisy.
One of my favorite, always makes me laugh lines from this special is this.
You better not right now, or I'll pound you.
And you are correct, sir. Mr. Melendez did pass away September 2nd of last year.
Oh.
I did not know, because over the last 3 weeks, I've been so engrossed in, like, Looney Tunes and Jetsons Flintstones and this and everything else. He is on a majority of the Looney Tunes DVDs because he worked with those people. So I didn't know he passed away. I didn't know. Hopefully Malunas doesn't listen to this show, but if he does, I did not mean to be hypocritical of myself, because he tried to make a when we were going through our which of the three amigos the three of us are, me, you, and Steve. Malunas made a Steve Irwin joke, and I didn't find it funny at all, because I'm not a type of person that likes to speak ill of the dead, and so
I thought you were going to say, I didn't know he died.
No, I knew he died. No, but I didn't know Mr. Melendez had passed away, so, you know, just from what I've seen in the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, I knew he was, at that time before, obviously, I looked at this article on IMDb, I knew that he was, I thought he was still alive.
You know, what's really funny, we can bring this completely home here and mix in a little Bill Melendez and some Steve Irwin and be like, oh, he does the voice of Snoopy. He's a main one. Who wants to bite me? Yeah. So, that was my Steve Irwin.
My God.
Yeah, you know what? His family's going to call me and give me a cease and desist. That one.
Oh, crap.
He's the voice of Snoopy. He wants to bite me.
That's
okay. He's just protecting his babies.
Okay. We're going to move into the behind-the-scenes segment. That's it. Yeah, there we go. As far as the production goes, the ABC telecast edits. Now, this is why I tell everybody to go out and get these DVDs, because to make room for the longer commercial breaks during modern airings, ABC cut 2 scenes, which were later restored when aired in conjunction with You're Not Elected, Charlie Brown. Those scenes are Lucy pleading Charlie Brown to kick the football and subsequently pulling it away as he tries to do so. This is the first instance of what becomes a staple of Peanuts specials. Snoopy as the World War One flying ace, prompting Schroeder to play World War One era songs.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was gonna say I don't remember these ever not being in there. So I'm wondering if maybe they were cut like sometime between 1966 and 1969 or 1970, long before I was born. Because as far as I can remember, these two scenes have always been in.
Huh.
So when they say later restored, they mean later, like 1971? Because, you know, I didn't come along till 73.
I'm not really sure.
Because as far as I can remember, there's always been the football gag. The football gag's recurring. You know, it's happened hundreds of times throughout forever.
The first time that we actually see it.
Right. And the Snoopy, the World War One flying ace, well, you're going to see him regardless, but when he's playing the songs, Schroeder playing the World War One era songs that, you know, I don't really know. But that's like ingrained deeply in my childhood memories.
Him
doing a little dance.
It says in here, commercial breaks during the modern airing, so maybe it was after 1990? I don't know. It doesn't really specify. And of course, the only credits that I have here, I know there are hundreds of other people that worked on these things, but Bill Melendez and Charles M. Schulz. Bill Melendez directed this, and of course, Schulz is the one who created the Peanuts characters. Just going into the actual show here, as far as just, I thought this was a great story. This is actually a show that pretty much, it's peer pressure, is what it is. If you really think about it, it's peer pressure meets a belief, because Linus believes the Great Pumpkin, just like we believe in Santa Claus. Jordan knows.
Well, I think that I guess there's peer pressure. I mean, he's kind of being pressured to conform.
Exactly.
He won't. I mean, it's I've heard it stated in the opposite way, where it's, as opposed to peer pressure, it's Linus actively pushing his beliefs on other people.
Okay, and I can buy that, and that's fine. But, you know, here's this kid who has, compared to us, who, as I said before, majority of us believe in Santa Claus. Here's this kid who believes in this completely other thing that is like Santa Claus, but instead of coming on Christmas, comes on Halloween. Okay? So here's this kid who's writing a letter to this fake, you know, thing, you know, and everybody's coming up to him asking him what he's doing, and when he tells them that, they're like, you're crazy, you're nuts, the Great Pumpkin doesn't exist. And of course, he maintains faith in his beliefs that, yes, the Great Pumpkin does exist. You know, it's you people who are wrong with your believing in the guy in the red suit and the white beard.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You know, it can be taken so many different ways. That's just the way that I saw it, was it was, you know, peer pressure for Linus to stop believing in the Great Pumpkin.
Right. Well, you know, Linus is clearly a paganist. Because, you know, he's out there, he's communing with nature, he's worshipping plant deities on Christmas of all day, you know, happy Samhain, Linus. He's out there trying to get other people to partake in his clearly paganist beliefs, and they're not having none of it. They're like, you know what, Linus, I think maybe you should repent a little bit.
Yeah.
Poor Linus, just misunderstood.
Yeah. And of course, just, you know, this has always been a special that, even though it is, I don't know, what is it, a half hour special or whatever, it seems like it's longer than that.
It's like all of 20 minutes without commercials.
Well, that's what a majority of half hour television is all of 20, 22 minutes. Actually, peel back the layers of this special, it is actually three different stories. It's the story of them dressing up, going to the tricks or treats and Halloween party. Story of Linus believing in what he believes in and being in the pumpkin patch. And then you have Mr. World War One Flying Ace, you know, downed in the behind enemy lines and in mock-up France.
The French countryside.
Exactly, the French countryside. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, telling three stories in one special, that's, I really like that, but it doesn't feel like it's three separate.
Well, you gotta understand that this was kinda, the script itself, the screenplay, let's say, was cobbled together from a number of comic strips.
Right.
And, you know, it's kinda like saying, wow, that was a great SNL skit, but you can't stretch that out in an hour and a half of comedy that people will pay money to see. Which is why a lot of the SNL-inspired movies are crap. But you've got several, you know, 3-4-panel comic strips that are kind of cobbled together in 20 minutes worth of TV show. So, yeah, it's going to seem a little scattered.
Yeah. Well, to me, it didn't, though. I mean, even though I was able to look, because I've watched it, like, I don't know, four times since last Thursday. So, I mean, you know, it didn't to me. But I was able to look at it in that way that it is three separate stories. What were a couple of your favorite scenes from this?
Oh, man, you got me on the spot there. My favorite scene, I think everybody loves the I Got a Rock line.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the I Got a Rock line here in a little bit. Down to the reception and stuff.
Okay. And I'm trying to think what would be my other one. I think we'll leave it at that, yeah, because, I mean, there's a... Well, nah, let's bring out the football again. I don't know if you're going to bring that up again, but as far as Charlie Brown not being able to kick that football to save his own life, and that Charles Schulz had stated that Charlie Brown would never kick that football.
And that's why in It's Magic, Charlie Brown, he was invisible, and it didn't count.
Right, well, it didn't count, but the gag here was not so much about Lucy being mean.
Yep.
I mean, granted, she was mean, but the gag's not about her being mean. The gag is about Charlie Brown, in this misguided, unending optimism, always going back for it. Every time he thinks he can do it.
Yep.
He knows he can do it, and he's going to do it this time, and he runs up, and he doesn't do it.
Yep.
But it never deters him from trying again.
And I love the effects that they used for that. I don't actually have them to where I can actually put them in this episode, like, as we're talking, but, like, the running feet gag.
Yeah, oh, they use that rubbing feet for everything.
I know.
Yeah.
But the running feet gag, and then, of course...
The scream. Ah! As he flies through the
air.
And,
of course, his famous last words, "You just want me to run up and try to kick that football so you can pull it away and, you know, watch me land on my back and kill myself, or..."
kill myself. Yeah.
And all right. And this is something I'm going to bring up on every Peanuts thing that I do on TimCast, whether it's this episode, the Thanksgiving episode, the Christmas episode, the Valentine's Day episode, whatever. I understand these are supposed to be kids slash adults because they have a lot of adult humor in these. I mean, not like adult as in XXX type of deal, but. I mean, like, stuff like adults said, like, I don't know if I said it to you on air or off air about, you know, Sally saying, you know, what kind of kid says, "I demand restitution," when he figures out Lioness has just, you know, used her to have her sit by him all night long in a pumpkin patch, you know.
This is sounding more and more adult, actually.
Well, yeah. Whatever. Shut up. You know, man. But, you know. What kind of kid would say that? And where, the way they depict these characters in their homes, like it's their home, like they own it. And yeah, the parents are like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, what, whatever," you know, noise in the background, like wah, 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 whatever.
They don't introduce the or adults until later on.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm just saying, the way that these cartoons make you look at these characters is that they're living in these houses all by themselves, and yeah.
Right.
There is a couple of specials where, you know...
And they're all in the same house for some reason.
No, they're not.
Well, no. Well, there's a scene where Linus is riding to the Great Pumpkin. And, you know, Snoopy wanders over and Lucy wanders... Well, Lucy is a sister. She lives there. But Snoopy wanders over. Charlie Brown wanders over. And Frida wanders over. Sally wanders over. And it's just this endless parade of people who just kind of walk over to mock him a little bit, you know, and get under his skin. But I'm thinking... Why are all these people in Linus's house? Are they just hanging out there? Is it, hey, this is where the beer is. I think I'm going to hang out with Linus today.
Well, I mean, all right. I can see Charlie Brown and Sally and Snoopy being there because Charlie Brown and Linus are best friends. And I don't really know if Sally and Lucy are best friends, but I would assume that they are. I don't have some sort of friendship.
If anything, I think Sally would be there to hang out with Linus.
Well, true.
Frida and Lucy might have been friends.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, then again, well, Charlie Brown would have been there to hang out with Linus, I suppose. But Snoopy, hey, someone let the dog in so he can come ridicule me. That doesn't make any sense. But no, to digress, I do understand what you meant about everybody sounding a lot more adult. There was a line out of Linus where he actually says, you know, three things I've learned never to discuss in public, which is religion, politics, and the Great Pumpkin.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's a very adult line. Exactly. it's deep, deep.
I actually have to bring up one of the flubs is in the information here, but the other one I actually found myself while I was watching it tonight as we record this before Halloween, but, you know, whatever. The first flub is in the beginning when he and Linus and Lucy go out to the pumpkin patch. And, you know, he's picking out pumpkins. She said, no. She points to something. We don't actually see what it is until he picks it up. It's like this gigantic, like, three times hit the size of him. How the hell he can live? I mean, he must be some sort of body, you know, a mini-me bodybuilder or something. Because, I mean, it looks like it weighs, like, 50 friggin' tons.
Yeah. Bigger than
he is. Exactly. Well, he figures out he has to roll it because he can't get it through the fence. If you look at that scene after he tries to get it through the fence, you don't actually see him in the hole in the fence walking around, but you see him at the edge of the fence walking around in the front of the fence.
I would not have noticed that.
Well, the only reason why I noticed it is because they pointed it out in the information that I have. The other one I noticed is in the Halloween party when you've got Snoopy, making his way across the French countryside into the upper window of the house at the Halloween party. And he's, like, behind a curtain. The next time you see Snoopy, he is in the apple bobbing water. And Lindsay, yeah!
He's like, ninja, disappear!
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ninja, vanish! Yeah, exactly. So my question is, how the hell did Snoopy get from behind the curtain to in the apple bobbing water without being seen by everybody?
He swam through the intake tubes.
Oh, swam through the intake tubes.
Right, the water had to come from somewhere. There was a huge tube that came from behind the curtain.
Oh, there was. Stuck.
Oh, yeah. They just didn't show it. It was there.
Going into the some trivia here for this show. Actress Kathy Steinberg had almost finished recording all her lines of dialogue as Sally when the producers received a phone call from Steinberg's mother, informing them that one of Kathy's teeth was loose. Fearing that the sudden lisp would ruin the continuity dialogue, the producers rushed the young actress into the studio to finish her recording her lines. Just as Steinberg was speaking her last line, the tooth came flying out of her mouth.
Oh.
Yeah.
That would suck. I mean, how old do you think they were when they filmed these? Because I know a lot of them couldn't read yet.
Yeah, they were probably maybe,
especially with their baby teeth coming out. Yeah. What, like 5 or 6?
Gotta be 4, 5, or 6, something like that.
Can you imagine the little kids who can't even read their own lines reciting, you know, dialogue like this?
I know it. It's stuff.
Yeah. I can't. I mean. Yeah, I can't even imagine that.
As far as an answer to our cutting of the scenes, when the show ran briefly on NBC, this scene of Snoopy and Schroeder was cut out. That's when it was cut, when it was shown on NBC.
Oh, so NBC got greedy and said, we need more commercials. And
yeah.
Next thing you know, the key elements of the entire show are cut.
Right. But it says up here, ABC telecast edits in the production part that I got, so I don't know. I'll have to get in the DeLorean and go back to 1966.
Set the Wayback Machine.
Oh, fuck the Wayback Machine. I want the DeLorean.
That takes too much road to pick up. You know, the Wayback Machine, you know, it's got a very small footprint.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Just Mr. Fusion.
Yes, exactly. So heading into the music for, actually, it's funny. I never knew what the main title theme of Peanuts is. The general theme, and it's actually called Linus and Lucy.
Yeah, it's by Vince Guaraldi.
Yeah, well, all of the music was done by Vince Guaraldi.
Yeah, the Vince Guaraldi sextet at that point. I've actually got a couple CDs of the Vince Guaraldi trio, and everything he did back then was very jazzy. you know, kind of had a nice beat to it, but it sounds great. I love Vince Guaraldi.
Yeah, actually, with the with this holiday deluxe edition holiday collection with these three films, I was surprised to see a little insert. How to get your digital music download. It allows you to get two songs from each special. Two songs from Great Pumpkin, two songs from Thanksgiving, and then the Christmas episode, or the Christmas DVD actually includes a... Oops, it's kind of open. It includes the same thing with the insert, but it also includes a six-song CD sampler. With... Whoa, look at that. DVD
nice.
In the nose.
Oh.
That would not be good because it's a two-disc edition DVD thing and the first disc thing. My Little Drum, Linus and Lucy, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Fur, Elise, Christmas is Coming, and Greensleeves is what's on the six CD sample. So I think it's really nice that they're including the music as well as the actual specials in these DVD sets. I think that's a great, great thing. And actually, I have all of them in iTunes.
Nice. Yeah, there's a... what is the song they sing when they're all on the ice skating rink in the Christmas special? I forget. I think it's Christmas Time Is Here. But it's that's a really nice song.
Oh.
And then I think Linus sings O Tannenbaum.
Oh,
which was really good too. I've got the DVD or the CD upstairs.
Cool.
We play it every year.
As we said, all music was performed by the Vince Guaraldi Sextet. The World War I songs were played by Schroeder on his time on piano while Snoopy dances. Oh, songs. It's a Long Way to Tipperary. Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag.
What the hell's a kit bag?
Maybe they.
Is that like a fanny pack?
No, they probably, even though this predates, even though this wasn't out then, they probably just, you know, put the Night 2000 into different pieces and put it in a bag. Knight Rider.
That's right.
The sad songs is There's a Long, Long Trail and Roses of Picardy.
Now, I'm assuming that, you know, World War One was much fresher in people's minds back in 1965 or 66, because I don't recognize those songs now. I can't quite relate. The only way I can really understand what's going on is by Snoopy's reaction to the songs.
Oh yeah,
you know, where he's like, "I'm leading the parade," dun da dun da da, and then he's like, "Oh, yeah. I'm crying now." You know, it's like, is this a sad song? I'm not sure because I've never really heard it, and I don't really know what is there lyrics to this? Is there words that my dog just died and my wife left me and my pickup truck just broke down and
wow, that sounds like a really, really bad, sad country song.
Any random country song, yes, exactly. But I cry when I have to listen to those too.
Yes.
So I can kind of relate to Snoopy.
Just
there.
Overall for this show, just I mean, you always recognize whether you hear it, whether you see it on TV, you always recognize that main Linus and Lucy theme.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's yeah.
Well, it's, you know, much.
It's a classic.
Yeah. Oh, very. It's much like The Touch, which is also a classic. Ha! Ding! The Transformers reference.
Bazinga.
Moving into the legacy segment here for the reception, Charlie Brown's repeated line of "I Got a Rock" caused some stir among many viewers of the show, according to Charles Schultz in the book and retrospective TV special "Happy Birthday, Charlie Brown." Schultz said that after the program first aired, bags and boxes of candy came in from all over the world just for Charlie Brown.
Nice.
Sure, who actually ate that candy? Because seeing as how it is a fictional character,
Christopher Shea.
No, Peter Robbins.
He was Linus, right? But I think if anyone deserves it, it's Linus because he spent the entire night in the pumpkin patch.
Yeah, but all right. If you're going along, and you have like, what is it, five or six of them kids? Lucy, Sally, the two other nameless kids that
Pigpen, Frida.
Pigpen, and Charlie Brown. They all get something, but he gets a rock.
Yeah. You gotta think, people, the entire neighborhood, they have to have conspired on this. You know, it's like, we're gonna give that roundhead and get a rock. Why don't you go get a rock and you give him a rock too? You know, it's like they stockpile rocks every year specifically to make this poor kid feel bad about himself.
That's kind of horrible.
I know, and you know, he's dragging this heavy-ass bag around behind him.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, why my shoulders hurt?
For a little bit more trivia, when Linus is going to send his letter to the Great Pumpkin, Lucy is reading a TV guide. Lucy is on the TV guide's cover.
It makes you wonder if the TV guide being read by the Lucy in the cover of the TV guide was also a TV guide with Lucy on it.
Okay, you're not getting me into a brain tease on this episode. Thank you very much. I try not to think about some of the stuff that comes out of your mouth.
It'd be like Infinite Lucy. It's straight into the TV guide.
As far as the toys, comics, DVD releases, stuff like that, I know McDonald's had Muppets glasses. Was it Burger King that had the Peanuts glasses? I forget. Way back in the 80s when McDonald's started doing like their whole Happy Meal thing and you know, these novelty things, there were Peanuts glasses, and I believe I got those for my mom last year for Christmas or birthday or something. I don't know. I know I got her Muppets glasses. But anyway, that's a completely different topic. There are DVDs for, as I've said, you can either get them, for these three, you can get the, deluxe editions separately, or you can get them in the deluxe holiday collection. There is the Peanuts 1960s collection, which either is on its way coming out next month in November or is already out now. I know that they're also releasing the Peanuts 1970s collection, which is all of the specials and cartoons from each era on a 2-disc set each, I believe. I'm really glad I have this because, like I said, for me, watching it on TV, being an almost 30-year-old man, it's not the same. But, I don't know why it's not the same. I honestly don't. But just for some odd reason, being able to say, hey, I want to watch the World War I Flying Ace, and being able to go to my DVD shelf and pull out It's a Great Pumpkin and pop it in, whether it's Halloween or not.
Not having to wait a year for the next Halloween episode.
Exactly. I highly recommend that people get the deluxe holiday collection. It's very, very cool.
Have you ever seen the annual Halloween and or Christmas stuff they have at Hallmark stores?
No, I very rarely shop at Hallmark. They're too expensive.
Unless you go like the day after Christmas or the day after Halloween, then everything's half off. But which is what we do. Every year they have Halloween stuff for Snoopy. They must have the rights to all the cards and stuffed animals or something, because every year there's stuffed Snoopy and a stuffed Woodstock. And this year we went and found a whole bunch of Halloween, or I should say, Great Pumpkin inspired ornaments. And I don't know if these are supposed to be Christmas ornaments because they're Halloween looking, or if they're supposed to be for some strange, Halloween Christmas tree that I've never heard of before.
You know, it's funny. We're not going to go into the actual closing, but before we do the closing on this show, we always do final thoughts on the topic that we discussed, and so we're going to go into that now. It's funny that you mentioned that because it's a very weird thing. When I was watching this past week, for some really odd reason, I know we've done a ton of really wacky references in this episode, like, the Knight Rider episode, or the Knight Rider reference and stuff like that. For some odd reason, when I was watching this past week, Chrismica always came up, which is a... I don't know if you know what Chrismica is. I don't know if you've ever watched The O.C., but for those people out there who listen to this show and watch the show The O.C., which is now canceled, was a holiday that one of the characters created because he is Jewish and they have an American kid living with... he wanted to combine Hanukkah and Christmas. so you get double the presents. And they called it Chrismica. And for some odd reason, the mix-up for Lioness of the Great Pumpkin versus Santa Claus, you know, that's always, you know, basically mixing Christmas with Halloween. You know, maybe there's a great pumpkin tree or something. I don't know. for those.
it's like it looks like a pumpkin patch on the bottom, but it has a pumpkin head growing out of it, and I have no idea what a great pumpkin would look like. They've never actually shown it.
Well, technically Snoopy is the great pumpkin.
Well, sometimes it's Snoopy, and sometimes, you know, it's been other people. I mean, over the years, every year, well, in print, actually, not so much the cartoon, but every year, Linus goes back to that pumpkin patch, or some other pumpkin patch, and every year, something else comes out of the pumpkin patch that isn't quite the great pumpkin. Yeah. One year, it was a bowling ball that Charlie Brown accidentally flung, you know, because he can't bowl, apparently. One year it was Spike, Snoopy's cousin, who had his pet cactus there, and they mistook the pet cactus for the great pumpkin. I want to say one year it was Snoopy driving a Zamboni.
Oh my God!
Yeah, there's just all these weird things. It's like, oh, it's the great pumpkin, and no, it's not. It's something weird. Something completely off the wall.
So, what are your final thoughts on It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown?
I had a few, to be honest.
You should have mentioned them earlier.
I should have, but you know, you did mention, you owe me restitution and I'll sue and that type of thing. I was thinking, you know, Charles Schulz must have been sued a lot because legalities seem to be a running theme.
Mm.
You know, in the beginning, you've got Sally saying, "Are you sure this is legal?"
Yep.
You know, and then Lucy says, "Oh, well, this document wasn't notarized." You know, was it? Yeah, you haven't crossed all your T's and dotted all your I's yet. And then at the end, Sally is like, "I'll sue, and you owe me restitution."
Yes.
And it's like, wow, you know, you'd expect the lawyers to come in, you know, at the end and. I'll start cleaning up all the credits to make them legal and binding.
If you hold my hand, I'll slug you.
Slug you.
Overall, it's a timeless, timeless classic. Obviously, I'm not a parent. I have to get a wife for that first. But anyway, I'm not a parent. But, you know, any parent should show this to their kids, even though it is kind of like we said, pretty much for adults. But, you know, kids aren't going to get the legality stuff. They're just going to look at it and, like,
they just want to see Snoopy
dance. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So we are... Do you have any other thoughts before I go into the closing here?
I had something I wanted to ask.
Okay.
At what point did all costumes consist of ruined bedsheets? Is that just like a 1960s thing?
I honestly don't know. I wasn't born in the 60s, but... God, but you know, I always when my mom and stuff, when we would go for Halloween, we always used, when I was the ghost, we would always use a old white bed sheet.
You were a ghost out of an actual bed sheet?
Yeah. What?
Man.
What?
You know what? I have to say I've never had white bed sheets. And I wasn't about to put holes in my, 1978 Star Wars bedsheets.
Well, I couldn't very well put holes in my 1986 for Transformers bedsheets. I mean, Jesus, man. I don't know.
What kind of a ghost would I be? Oh, there's Megatron. I'm that ghost.
Maybe my mom used an old white tablecloth. I don't know. I know it was a giant piece of cloth that was white, whether it was a bedsheet or a tablecloth or... a fucking doily for a couch. I don't know.
How do you get the eyes to line up exactly with your eyes? Because wouldn't it kind of slide over on your head? Wouldn't that be hard to see? That's a traffic hazard right there. You could walk right in front of a car.
You're just trying to prolong this conversation so I lose the bet. That's all that is.
There's a bet? What?
Yeah, there's a bet. If this conversation clip doesn't go over 1 hour of time, I get your lead class Megatron.
Oh, you lost that bet already.
Oh, I didn't. We're at 50 minutes, 38 seconds, 39. So, thank you for joining us here on Dunecast. Several ways to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show.
All right, slow down, Tiger. You're not getting Megatron anyway.
Radio.com and find all the other GCRN podcasts there. The second is you can stop by at PriticonEmpire.com/CafeSpark. Those are our forums. The third is you can leave the show feedback on iTunes. I'd like to thank everybody for leaving the feedback that they have. For new listeners, please go leave us feedback. The fourth is you can visit www.earth-2.net forums and find our threads for the shows in the self-promotion section. And the fifth is the email address, which is gcrntunecast@gmail.com. We now have a voicemail line. Call us and leave us your thoughts on each episode. Be sure to say which show you're leaving the message for and your name. The number is 502-526-5821.
Oh, quick interjection.
What?
Is that the same number that you wanted people to leave the the one-minute blurbs for?
Yes.
Did you want to mention something about that now?
Or? No, because you're trying to ruin the bet here.
No, there is no bet. I never agree to any bet, so feel free to expound upon that thought if you think it's important.
Did that. It's on the ToyCast feed. I recorded an update last night and sent it to Steve this morning, so update your podcast, sir.
No, it's only... Yeah, the six-minute one, it's on my iPod.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to it yet, but in case you wanted to expound...
No. You can...
Never mind.
You can also follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCRN Tunecast. Mine is TFG1 Mike, and what is your Twitter?
What are y'all's Twitter names?
Well, that's for when we have more than one guest.
Y'all.
Oh.
My Twitter name is PeconCourt Michael, PECANCTMICHAEL.
USA. We thank you. Us on Tunecast. We'll join you next time when we'll be reminiscing on Tom and Jerry. For now, I am TFG and Mike with Michael Wilson, saying the moral words of Optimus Prime, transform and roll out, and thank you for listening. Ha! 52 minutes, 41 seconds.
Well, another Halloween has come and gone.
Yes, Charlie Brown.
I don't understand it. I went trick-or-treating and all I got was a bag full of rocks. I suppose you spend all night in the pumpkin patch. And the great pumpkin never showed up?
Nope.
Well, don't take it too hard, Linus. I've done a lot of stupid things in my life, too.
Stupid? What do you mean, stupid? Just wait till next year, Charlie Brown. You'll see. Next year at this same time, I'll find a pumpkin patch that is real sincere. And I'll sit in that pumpkin patch until the great pumpkin appears. He'll rise out of that pumpkin patch and he'll fly through the air with his bag of toys. The great pumpkin will appear, and I'll be waiting for him. I'll be there. I'll be sitting there in that pumpkin patch, and I'll be the great pumpkin. Charlie Brown.